Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as guests in the studio two power members of the Preuss team to talk about our fish department. We have a returning guest, Shelby Stensrud, who is the fish room manager. And we have Greg Bush, the aquatic plants manager. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, again, this conversation really evolves because there was such a popular feeling about the show we did a month ago dealing with the saltwater fish. And I understand that to some degree, because as someone who has had both freshwater and saltwater fish tanks, the color difference and the beauty of saltwater fish really is, it's very stark difference. But once again, in talking to you guys, I find out I'm an antique, because the old days of all the freshwater fish just being silver and black and a bronze color, it's no longer true. So, Shelby, why don't you take us through how have the freshwater fish really evolved in terms of the color and the selection and the number of breeds and the beauty of them?
Well, definitely the varieties have increased tenfold. You know, even from when I started aquariums 20 years ago, you know, when it was just some neon tetras, platies, some really basic critters out there. Now through, you know, technology and being able to explore the world, we really have increased just by thousands the amount that's in the store.
Well, and from what I saw, again, back in the old days, when I wanted to add color, I'd add that blue gourami, and that would make all the difference in the world. But now I understand that getting into one category of fish, the African cichlids, I understand that the coloring on them are pretty much as colorful and beautiful as any saltwater fish variety.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize, I don't know how many of you have seen the display tanks at the store, but the variety of colors, most people think those fish are actually saltwater animals. So they're usually very surprised to find out that those animals are really and truly a very, very easy animal to take care of, and they're uniquely brightly colored.
And what's the history of these African cichlids? I mean, obviously they're from Africa, but precisely how did we find out about them? Are they a recent discovery? Share that information with us.
Well, they've been around, I'd say, in the last, you know, 10,000 years really is when those lakes began to evolve. But in the first 1900s is when the Africans kind of started showing up, but not until the 40s and the 50s where they really exported into the U.S.
And then I would have to say that back in the 70s, we saw three species. We saw a Neurotis, we saw maybe a Chipoki, or maybe a zebra. And they give them these, you know, oftentimes common names, but in African cichlids, there's so many of them that arrive so fast that a lot of them, all we know is their true scientific name, which is actually kind of cool to watch a little 8-year-old kind of recite to, you know, give it, you know, Haplochromis venustis or something like that. It's kind of hilarious.
I would imagine.
But the thing that's really interesting is today, I don't know, Shelby, how many are you talking about that we might even have in the store today?
Well, in the store, I try and stock at least over 100, but usually I stock between 100 and 150. That puts our store over, well over any other store, I would say, in the nation of the variety of cichlids that is available.
Wow. And do they all come from Lake Victoria? Or, where geographically do they come from in Africa?
Well, these guys, there's three great lakes on the east side of Africa. Most of the lakes, I'd say, definitely come within size of the three great lakes in Michigan. Only second to Superior would be Lake Malawi.
Okay.
So I'd say these guys, you know, there's over 1,000 species available in those lakes.
Wow.
What's interesting is, what's really fortunate for us here in Michigan is that we have well water environments, and it's sometimes difficult for certain species to survive. This particular geography in this area happens to make these lakes much more like what we would expect if we had well water lakes. We don't have them because we have, you know, rain effects and water running through and softening opportunities. In these lakes, there's not that softening opportunity. The water hardens up and has been that hard ever since the formation of these lakes They're caused by these opening of tectonic plates at elevations that are lower, mm-hmm. and water can't escape. It just tends to, you know, it evaporates and accumulates. So there's some lakes around there that are so hard, just like Salt Lake City, where you can't keep fish alive in it. And then these lakes happen to be just the right mix of both fresh water coming in, some exiting of that, and then just this really hard water environment. So they stay hard and constantly, which is perfect for us if you live in Williamston or Leslie or you live out in the rural areas. And what's beautiful is you can easily make a tank hard. It's hard to make a tank soft, you know. So, gotcha. And the colors are just, we have ones that look like giraffes in their color patterns. We have some that are as bright blue. They're referred to as an electric blue ally. Ally would be in reference to the scientific name, but they're just, imagine the most blue color you could possibly imagine. And it's as blue or bluer than that. Wow. And it's metallic, it's intense, it illuminates. And so that's where you get into African cichlids like you would never expect. Red, there's a particular red fish. You can describe the red empress.
The red empress is one that actually got me into cichlids. There's a couple when I walked into the store 9 years ago that I did not know they existed. And that was the fish that I said, I must have this animal. Because he is flame red with a turquoise face and bright white fins. You know, just absolutely stunning.
Wow.
So
interesting. And one of the things I was reading in my preparation for this show is that it said that the color dictates the dominance of the particular fish, and that as a fish loses its dominance, sometimes its color will fade a little bit, which I found to be a very interesting thing, kind of like the peacock spreading its tail feathers. What is that something that you regularly see, or is that something you would only observe in nature?
I find it actually very, very fascinating. I've had my boys probably about, I'd say, 7 years now, and still I really enjoy watching them kind of fight for a little bit of hierarchy, but still, you know, they're all very brilliantly colored, but it's really unique to see the interactive behavior between them, but they're all still very vibrant.
You see a lot of that when they're younger. If you have four or five young males in an aquarium, one will be intensely colored within just a few weeks or a few days of getting them in, and the rest will stay there. Their juvenile color. These African cichlids are strange in that when they're young, some of them anyhow, try to fade out, disappear, you know? And then when they start to become sexually mature, that doesn't work so well anymore because you can't get a lady by hanging out in the trees, you know what I mean? You got to be right there hitting your chest.
Oh, I absolutely get it.
So the dominant male is the one that's going to show up and start coloring up. We'll catch that fish and sell it to a customer. Of course, I want that one that has that fantastic color.
Right.
And so we'll sell it to him. Right. And 3 days later, they'll come back and there'll be another one, or we'll look into the tank and there'll be another one just as brightly colored as that one. Wow. And it steps up their plate and says, okay, I'm male. But when they get older, they can't help but have a full dress of color. They will have a full dress of color. Sometimes the intensity sharpens and they start to become real brilliant because they're in their sexual breeding mode, mm-hmm. you know, and so they kind of, you know, get real busy.
Hey,
and then other times they kind of calm down and they just have a good, beautiful dress of color.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with looking good when you want to attract the ladies. I get it. So.
And another thing that's real, comment a little bit about Shelby, about how it actually, to some extent, with respect to compatibility and friendships, because these things are somewhat aggressive, how it helps to actually put more fish rather than less fish in the tank.
Yeah, definitely as the varieties have increased, you know, we have found overstocking actually kind of calms the whole tank down. You know, if you think of, you know, if I've got five people that really aren't getting along, if I put them in a room full of 20 people, it's pretty hard for those guys to still not get along.
Mm-hmm.
So what the beauty of it is that you get more color, more variety simply by adding more fish, and the aggression level really just kind of settles down and everyone seems to pretty much get along.
And the only footnote there is that if you're going to do that, you just have to understand more responsibility goes along with it. You're going to have to do a partial water change no matter what aquarium you own, and you may have to do it twice as often if you have twice as many fish.
Right.
So instead of like maybe every other week, you're doing it every week, or, you know, something like that. So we can kind of help guide you in that respect.
Gotcha. And aren't Oscars part of these African cyclids? Are they part
of that
group?
Question. Half of that statement's right.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're African, but they're not cyclid? Or
no,
cyclid?
Flip it around. They're on the other side of the coin.
They're cyclids, but they're not African.
Yeah. Right, right.
I gotcha.
Right.
Because I think that that's one of the types of fish that a lot of people back in my day used to
right.
get because they were a little bit more attractive comparatively, but they were very aggressive, as you said. And
their temperament's a little different. They come from a more riverine environment.
Okay.
And you think about a riverine environment, it's always changing.
Right.
With this lake, been the same way for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So there's more ownership of the lake there, and the temperament tends to reflect that. In a riverine environment, that guy is big, lumbering, and large, searching for small fish to swallow.
Right.
But he doesn't have the same kind of ownership kind of attitude, so he has a different disposition. So that's why we actually have what you would consider an African cichlid department. I mean, that one section alone has its own list of clientele, because the Oscar, even though it's a cichlid,
mm-hmm.
won't live with the African cichlids. And the African cichlids won't live with the Oscar. Why? Because the African cichlids, in spite of the fact that they're small, will oftentimes beat up the Oscar.
Really?
Or the Oscar will swallow them.
Well, I was going to say, I remember having Oscars with Jack Dempsey's, and Jack Dempsey was a pretty tough guy. So
yeah,
right.
But he's still overall like more of a riverine or a changing environment kind of animal. So he doesn't have nearly the aggressive disposition, or at least territorialism. I wouldn't say aggressive, because they are community oriented if you put the right temperaments together.
Gotcha. And when it comes to these fish, in terms of the size that they grow to, and in terms of how long, if you do your proper maintenance, they can live, give me an idea on that. I mean, how big can some of these African cichlids get?
Well, you know, there are some dwarf species, so people out there that have a 15-gallon tank, you can still get some real unique personalities with these dwarf guys.
Okay.
Don't underestimate the inch-and-a-half fish, because he'll be the first to bite you.
Okay.
But for the most part, I'd say the guys that I stock in the store, right around 4 to 8 inches is going to be the average size.
Okay. And how big can they grow to?
I'd say, you know, up to 12 to 16 for some of the really big monsters, and occasionally I do get those guys in, but only if you have a good-sized tank for them.
Right. Yeah, most of the fish as adults are getting 4 to 6, 8 inches long, and they don't what they miss in size, they definitely make up for in color.
Oh, I would imagine.
And personality.
Well, I would imagine so, but one of the pleasures that I remember having was when you take that smaller fish and you just watch him grow in the 55 or bigger gallon tank, that's kind of the cool thing.
Yeah, sure.
To be able to see how big you can actually grow them to.
And with these, not only do you start with a 1 or 2 inch fish that's silver, maybe some black dots on it.
Right.
And then 2 years later, he is 4, 6, 8 inches long, but he has this most incredible coloration on him. And then personality-wise, you definitely get attached to him.
Oh,
they definitely have a lot of personality. Any of these cichlids, whether it's an Oscar or these African cichlids or whatnot, as a general rule, somehow have the lion's share of personality and inquisitiveness and engagement that kind of captivates people's curiosity.
And how long can they live? I mean, you've got some fish that are flowing through the river system that are, correct me if I'm wrong, older than your daughter. And she's in her 20s.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, how old can these fish, if they're properly cared for, live to?
I'd say on average, the Africans live, 7 to 10 years. So they do have a long lifespan. What's unique about these guys is I really find is they are probably my number one family fish. They're animals your kids can grow up with. They're animals that your kids really just get a whole new perspective on what's out there. Learning the Latin names and getting into watching those fish develop their color is just something unique to the whole family.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's one of the cool things, too, because when you do have a fish over a period of time, you can get attached to them. I think that's one of the myths that people who don't have fish tanks don't understand. They think of them as just kind of something you look at, and that's not the case. They really do have personalities, and frankly, I was prone to naming mine, and I even have friends on Facebook who've contacted me to ask me about some of my old fish to see if I still have them and remember the names.
And I think that, and Greg, you might want to comment on this, but this whole isolation of us from the water environment kind of creates that situation, you know, and until you get fish swimming back and forth in the living room, you do tend to depersonalize and desensitize yourself to the overall value of these animal lives. But they're no less important of an animal life than dogs or cats to some of us, right. You know?
Oh, yeah. I definitely find it amazing that they're still considered furniture by people. you have animals, and any animal can give you some personality and give you some amount of interactivity. But definitely with the cichlids, they're tenfold on that than, say, to a schooling fish that tends to be more scared of you than, say, inquisitive of you.
Right. And you know, that the energy that I have kept in the hobby has mostly to do with the fact that I take more seriously, you know, people's emotions, I think, than anything else. And one thing that keeps me running at it is when I have a customer that comes in and their particular fish that has a name and they're having problems with it. You know, it might just be old, mm-hmm. or it might have, you know, had issues by getting beat up, or they did a big water change, didn't know they shouldn't have, and it's on it's on life support.
Right.
And the customer is literally crying in our store. And this happens day in, day out, ongoing. And it just reminds you of, you know, the perception is that they're in the water, no big deal, you know, fish fry Friday,
right.
Let's all eat them.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And the reality is that these are, you know, life's precious animals that we have to, just like we can appreciate a cow, but we still need to eat it.
Right.
You know, we can appreciate a fish for what it really is, as opposed to, you know, we're thinking about other things. You know, fish are important, and their livelihood is important. And when we actually assume the responsibility of owning these fish, just like owning a dog or a cat or whatnot, if we put in the energy to kind of worship that animal, to like appreciate it for what God intended it to be, you know, this true form of life, then all of a sudden, all the work on the aquarium is nothing.
Right.
Because we actually attach ourselves to it, and there's not a whole lot involved in it, and we enjoy it. And then we actually see it for what nature really intended it to be.
Right. Yeah, no, there's no question. It can be something that really does attach you to nature. Now, Shelby, the one thing that, in my research I saw, is that there's more cichlids than just the Africans. There's the New World cichlids. Those are from Central and South America. What's the difference between them?
Yeah, Central and South America, as Rick was talking about, those are more your big river species. So for the most part, these species get very, you know, very large. Still, you're going to hold a lot of personality with these animals. But, you know, you can get in some really unique colors, varieties, different shapes. But definitely, you know, it's really, really cool about these guys is they're usually pair bonders. So in an aquarium, you can get a unique pair of animals and watch them spawn and watch them behave as, you know, kind of as an adult couple. It's really unique to watch.
Fantastic. Well, Rick, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to bring in more conversation about the plants and the changes in the marine life and everything that's new in the whole hobby of freshwater fish right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Hey, hey, Mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.